In John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Some of these songs that we've been singing have light and joyfulness and just Him overcoming. I want to read that verse again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Lord, we thank You for Your light. I pray that You will shine in us because You are with us. Those You have called Your own, those You who You've sealed, we are Yours. We have that light. Help us to turn it on. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Fell off the stage. Well, good morning once again. I want to tell you next week we're going to be starting a new series. It's a four-week series called Giving Your All. We'll be going into the new year, and all of us have, or most of us, I should say, have New Year's resolutions. Most of the world does anyway, and we want to lose weight. We want to read our Bibles more. We want to pray more. We want to be nicer to our husbands, right? I want to say that one again. We want to be nicer to our husbands. You might want to write that one down. Be nicer to your husbands. You guys aren't writing that one down. That one's not one of your New Year's resolutions. Yeah, okay. No, we all want to give our all. And so we're going to talk about that. And not just giving our all, but giving. We're coming out of the season of Christmas and, you know, the scripture of, it's more blessed to give than to receive, and we like to also say that around Christmas time, and particularly when we didn't get what we wanted, and we kind of say that with clenched teeth. We say, "Oh, it was more blessed to give than to receive," and we kind of try to talk ourselves into that. But there's really something special about giving, and so we're going to talk about that over 4 weeks. So I'm really excited about that. And so that will start next Sunday, January 5th. So really want you to come and be a part of that. And then after that four-part series, we're going to go back into Matthew and finish up going verse by verse again, as we normally do expository teaching, going verse by verse through the Bible. But we have taken a break through December and now also going through January, going to do some topical things. But this week is the last week of our interview series. Hello, my name is Jesus. So I'd like to invite Beverly Connor up. Yeah, give Bev a round of applause. Come on up. Say what? Oh, yeah, come on up. Yeah, she likes to make an entrance here. So have you guys been enjoying this interview series? Yeah? Good. Have a seat. Yeah. No, she's not. All right. Well, this is Beverly Connor. Oh, you need a microphone. Could somebody, Jamie, could you get Emily's microphone? People can hear you, but we still need a microphone for you. Here we go. Okay. Bev, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am.
In the microphone, there you go.
I am. On. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I got to see you. I'm from Ohio originally, and I moved.
Just real quick, how many people are from Ohio? I've been hearing people from Ohio. Yeah, look at this. A lot of. Three, four? Three. I thought there was more.
John's from Ohio.
Maybe there was just like a lot of people. A lot of people over the last couple of weeks I've been talking to said they were from Ohio. I guess it wasn't you guys. Never mind.
Praise the Lord. I moved here in 1980. And at that time, I was 32 years old.
You didn't have to date yourself. I didn't ask your age.
Oh, I love telling my okay. age. I'm 71.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah. Yeah, it's been a journey. Praise God. And I moved here in 1980, and really, that's where does. Well, I'm going to talk about other things, but that's basically who I am. I moved here in 1980, and I met Jesus out in the backyard at my parents'. I moved here in December of 1980, so it would have been 1981, and I'm going to talk about that, of course. But what do you want to know about me? Ask me something.
So you're
I'm
a retired beautician?
Oh, yes. I moved here, and after a year, I went to beauty school, became a hairstylist, and I did that for 30 years. And
She does Dana's hair.
And Dana, yeah, is a product of my abilities. And anyway, I live in Paisley, and I've lived there ever since I moved here in 1980. And I lived with my parents a while. Then I had my own place in the woods. I consider us in the woods anyway. I live right across from the Ocala Forest, and I live on a paved road down by Spring Creek Elementary. But I consider it the woods.
Yeah.
And what else?
Well, you have impacted many, many people's lives. Just show of hands, how many people in here have been impacted by Bev's life? Just wanted you to see that, Bev. Bev, this is your life. No, I'm just kidding.
I like it.
It's a new series.
I like it.
Okay, so as all 3 weeks, now this is the fourth week, I sent you a list of the names or designations of Jesus, and you got to pick between all of them, and you picked the Word.
Mm-hmm.
As your favorite for Jesus. Why?
Well,
or the one you picked anyway.
I don't know that there's a favorite.
Okay.
It's just that I am all about the Word.
Okay.
I love the Word of God, and you're going to ask me why.
Why?
Oh.
We're a good team.
We are a team.
So why did you pick the Word, Bev?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because here comes my testimony. I did not know the Lord at all. I have not been raised in a church like the three people that came before me, by the way, awesome stuff. I was unchurched, and I have three church stories. Who's heard my church story? Oh, not enough. You need to hear. I was unchurched. We had a big Bible that sat on the table, like a coffee table, and never opened it. No, and my parents, wonderful parents, but they didn't tell me about Jesus. I mean, at Christmas time, we celebrated Santa Claus. And it was a big deal at our house. I come from a large group of, I have a large family, and especially on my dad's side. And they all congregated at my parents' house. And anyway, we would celebrate. My dad was very musical. He couldn't read a note, but he played by ear, played the fiddle, the harmonica, the guitar, banjo, you know, mandolin, all that kind of stuff. So my family would gather around, and we would sing and just, you know, have a good time and sing old songs and stuff. And then we'd play cards. Euchre is our game. Anybody in here know how to play euchre? Woo! I want to get with you. We played euchre. And just went on all night long and had a good time. But, what?
Nothing.
I don't cheat. That's because he lost at Chinese checkers, by the way.
Sure.
You remember that story, how good he was?
Yeah.
I took him on. I won by two moves. Anyway, but.
That's right. Next.
Anyway, I have three church stories, and that is when I was in about the eighth grade, I believe it was. My girlfriend called me, and she said, I went to church this morning, and she said, I'm going to go tonight with my mom. Do you want to go? And I said, sure, because for me, it was no big deal. It was like she just asked me to the movies or something, you know, just get out of the house. So I didn't, yeah, I'm going. And then she invited two others. And so we went to church with her that night. I had not a clue about anything. And when we got in, there was a small church. Honestly, seriously, it wasn't even as big as half of this down here. And cut off over there, little tiny thing. And so we get in there, it's pretty crowded, and then they start singing, and the next thing I know, everybody starts, it seemed like everybody, starts speaking in this other language. And they were had their hands in the air, and in the air, worshiping God. And then the next thing I knew, there was a real cute guy in the neighborhood, and all the girls, we liked him a lot. And I didn't know that he was one of these. And he started rolling across. Floor. And I just am freaking out, scared to death. God, get, oh, I didn't say God, I didn't know him. I just said, get me out of here, I got to get out of here. And never went back to that place again. So my next experience is I'm in high school, and my cousin, she asked me to go to church with her, clear across town. And at the end, I always ask people, what kind of churches do you think this was? So she asked me to go to church with her, clear across town. I went with her again. I'm thinking, well, it's not that one, you know. So go across town with her to church. And sometime towards the end of the service, and honestly, I can tell you, I don't have a clue what the preacher said. I don't know. Oh, no, nothing.
Never do.
And to this day, I can only assume what he said. And I'm assuming he said, if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, something like that, raise your hand. Well, you know, I had never told the truth at all in my life. I was a huge liar. I loved to lie. And I loved to just see if I could get you to believe the lie. It didn't matter to me what I was lying about. It wasn't about even getting out of trouble. It was just I wanted to see if you would believe me. So I raised my hand, and with that, literally, I'm telling you the truth, I was on the end. This guy came around, and he scooted me and my cousin down. He sat there, and then somewhere from behind us, a tall, skinny guy threw his leg over the pew, scooted my cousin over, and sat down on this side of me, and they start talking to me, and I'm like, oh, get me out of here. Petrified. I have no idea what they said to me and didn't care. I'm scared to death. All right, my third experience is I am out of school now, and it's Christmas Eve, and we're partying. The parties that my parents started early, people just cousins, friends showing up, and we stayed all day, and so I'm already drinking, and I'm pretty drunk. And my cousin comes, and he's drunk. He's 6 months older than me. And we're my cousins were like brothers and sisters. We were together all the time. And so I said to him, and I always do my little drunk act, said, you know, I think we ought to go to church. He said, church? He didn't go either. Why would we do that? And I said, well, I don't know. I think some people do that on Christmas. Well, he was just drunk enough, he said, okay. So we got in the car and we drove about, I don't know. I live in a little town called Mogador, actually. It's a little village. So it's like 0.2 miles to the church. And we get out and we go in. Now, you remember my other two experiences. So I go into this church and I just sit. Are these people here? Why are they here? And that was that. You know? That was my three church experience. What was that first one? Does anybody know?
Pentecostal.
What's the second one? You better believe it. Praise God for the Baptists. Because they're going to make sure we get saved. Thank you, Jesus. I love them. The third one, what was that? What?
Oh.
What did he say?
I'm not going to repeat it. I'm not repeating it.
What's the third one? Close. It's a Methodist. Did somebody say that? It was a Methodist church. Okay. Very good.
We love all churches.
We do. And there was purpose in all of that, by the way. God's purpose. That's what I've learned, is the plan for my life didn't start when I was 33 years old. Or, yeah, 32, whatever. That isn't where my journey started. That's what I've learned as I've journeyed. It started way back when I came out of my mother's womb. That was where the journey started. Wow. Wow. When we see, oh, well, am I there yet? Anyway, I did find I had one more story I forgot about. I forgot about this. When I was a kid, my mom, she went to church in Tennessee. Am I okay, Kevin? I love Kevin. We went to Tennessee where my mom went to church. She was raised in the mountains down there. And they build a little church by hand. The river down there, the Obi, it's called, they carried all the river rocks out and they built their church. And everybody had a rock in that church. My mom knew where her rock was, right over the door there. And anyway, we went there. I went with her one hot July summer night. And mom had on a little sundress. I imagine I did too. And anyway, June bug. Do anybody know what a June bug is? It is a bug about that big, and he's black. And he flies. Well, one flew up my mother's dress. And I believe that's the first time that church ever experienced any kind of Pentecostal action. That's a story I forgot. She jumped up, and man, she started jumping around the church. She grabbed me by the hand, and we ran outside, and she pulled her dress off and got that bug out. True story, true story. So I just remembered that this week, thinking about that. But let's see, where am I now?
So your experiences with churches.
Yeah. Yes, and I want to get that across. You know, after years went by, I asked the Lord, why did you save me the way you did? Whoa, 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 back up. So when I came to Florida, it was through losing my job. I had a broken relationship I had been in for years. And, you know, for me, everybody has a bottom of the barrel. And that's where mine was. I was just broken. And I came to Florida. My parents had moved here 2 years earlier. And my dad was so happy to see me.
No, he wasn't. Okay.
He retired and left Ohio and thought he left his kids behind. Hello. Didn't happen that way. So when I came, I'm really very broken, and I went out and sat in his backyard, and I'm by myself, and I looked down at the ground, and I saw these, probably were fire ants. I don't know. But anyway, they were ants, and they were carrying little crumbs back and forth into that hole, back and forth and back and forth. And I looked down at those ants, and I said, I feel just like that ant, day in, day out, same hole, same hole. Is this all it's about? And I looked up in the sky. Said, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me, because I don't know that you are. Are you there? And years before, a few years before, God was drawing me, and I went out and I got, I'm from Amish country up in Ohio, and I was 10 minutes, 5 minutes from Amish country, and I thought, where can I get a Bible? And I thought, well, those people got Bible. They got white fences, and they do all kinds of neat stuff out there. And so I drove out, sure enough, had a store out there, and I bought a Bible. And I brought it home, and like you do, like you read a book, I didn't know. I opened it up in the front, and I started reading there, and I got to the place where God was killing everybody. And I went, whoa, I don't want to read that. I slammed that book shut, and I buried it, put it away. Well, this day, out in the yard, I thought, I'm going to go in there and get that Bible out. I dug it out of my boxed up stuff, and it just fell open to the book of Matthew. And I started reading in the book of Matthew, you know, and it was my time. That's what I want to encourage people with. You know, God says no man comes to him. Jesus said no one comes to him except the Father draw them. There's a drawing time for every one of us, and there's a purpose in that. And I asked the Lord, Lord, why did you wait till I was 33 years old? And he said to me, you would not be the person I called you to be had you not gone through all of that. You see, my journey started coming out of the womb. That's when it all started, and it's helped make me who I am in the Lord today. As bad as I was, and I was a booger, I really was. So with that, here's the cool thing. Also, the Bible talks about us having blinders on. We're blinded. God blinds us for until his purpose and time. And so God removed the blinders from my eyes. People ask me, why did you start in Matthew? Because, you know, most people, church people say you got to go to John. Well, God didn't do that with me. He took me to Matthew. And I've asked Sean, talked about it. I said, what do you think he took to Matthew? And as I remember, you said, well, there's lots of good meaty stuff in there. Or, isn't that how you answered me? Something like that? You don't remember.
I don't remember.
It's all right. I do. So anyway.
Really good, though.
You know, it's very, very meaty, you know, and whatever. It's good stuff. But when I need it, that's the thing I want to say. Have, you know, when we talk about, am I talking to you?
It's your interview.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I haven't really answered
I
the first question.
I submit to authority, by the way. but the thing is, when we talk about how special God is and how he created us, you hear it all the time. He's special. He's, thank you, Miss Anna. That's one of her favorite words. You're special.
Yeah.
She's always, I don't know if she can hear me, but she's always telling people they're special. Yeah. The thing is, it's true. It really, really is. I mean, from the time God created us, we really don't get it. That he made you in every way. There is really no one else like you. And the thing is, he made you to hear his voice. Special. He'll talk to me different than he does Rob. We just had an experience with that a couple days ago. Thank God Lori explained it to me. Anyway, but it's a God thing. It's a God thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. You know, I don't like the word disability anymore. We talk about people with disabilities. I don't use that word anymore. It's difference. God made us different. To hear him, you, Aiden, will hear God in a different way than I do. Bottom line will always be the same. But he created you to hear in a certain way. That's awesome. That's awesome. And that's what he did to me, and I believe that's why he took me to the book of Matthew. I needed whatever was right in that book. And he removed the blinders from my eyes, and I began to see, number one, who Jesus was. I never knew. I didn't know. I didn't know. And then he began to show me what a sinner I was. Now, you know, people that don't know the Lord, they only know they're sinners because somebody tells them so. They don't really know what sin is in their life. And so the Lord began to show me what a sinner I was. And then how much I needed him. And you know, it wasn't until I got to the book, the blinders, by the way, just moved. And I began to see things in there that pertained to my life, how they were operating in my life. And I did not know he was the Word until I got to the book of John. Mm-hmm. But he led me up to that point where I knew I had to submit. And I never submitted to no one. I was so rebellious. And he taught me that. I mean, he showed me how I had to submit to him, number one, and that authority. And then I would go where he said to go, do what he said to do, and say what he wanted me to say. And it took me a good 2 to 3 weeks on my knees just being quiet to figure out I wanted to do this. Was I going to do it? And for the first time in my life when I made a commitment, I knew if I said this, I was going to mean it. I will do whatever you tell me to do. And anyway, that's huge. So what I wanted to say, the reason I chose the word, that was your question. Yeah. The Lord himself, I didn't have teaching. I didn't have church. I didn't have anyone around me at all to teach me the word. It came right from the Holy Spirit, from him, the word. The word, when I read the word of God, I have so many scriptures here. Sean was talking about scriptures. I have so many scriptures. And when people say to me, what's your favorite scripture? All of it is.
Yeah.
I mean that from my heart.
It's like picking your favorite child.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
We all can, but we shouldn't.
Yeah, well. Yeah. No, it reminds me. I happen to have a favorite show, and I haven't seen the latest one, so I don't know if it's bad or good. But Last Man Standing. Anybody ever seen that show? He's got his favorite out of his three girls. But anyway, that's why I chose the word. It has been life to me.
Yeah.
Life, literally. And I don't read it like a book. I read it like a book, line by line. And I meditate on that. Meaning, I'll sit down and not think about it. And I ask him, God, what does this mean in my life? Because every word of God is for what? What's scripture say? I'm testing you now. Scripture says the word. Oh, yeah, we're coming to that. So anyway, that's why I chose the word. Literally, the word of God is alive. He has brought life to me every word I read. Now, the timing's different because if I've read some words over, I don't know, we'll say 50 times. I've read that scripture over and over, and next year it'll mean something different to me.
For sure. It's
because
alive.
I'm in a different place in my journey. And that's what's so amazing. The word. I love the word. All right. Did I answer that?
You did. Very good. Thank you. So the designation comes from John 1:1 and also 1:14, which Jamie read before we got up to speak. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Message translation says he moved into the neighborhood. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So why does Jesus declare himself to be the Word?
Because he is.
Okay, good. Good enough.
He just is.
So how is he the Word?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Listen, I want to show you something because this is real special.
You want me
to
hold it up for you?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I'll be Vanna White.
I think, hold it up. You know, I think probably anyone that's spent any time with me, you know, this is what I say to them. Read the red. Read the red. Read the word. Get into the word. And when I sit with people, that's what we do. Get into the word. What does the word say? Somebody will ask me, well, what do you think about that? And I said, well, let's read the red. So we open our Bible and we find out what Jesus says. Now, a very special person made that for me, and it's Kathy. Last year for Christmas, and she found a Bible of somebody that had gone to be home with the Lord, and she cut the scriptures out, the red. By the way, for somebody that doesn't know, some Bibles do have the red in them, Jesus' words. Not all of them do, but some of them do. And she got that, and she made that box for me. She made that box. She covered it with all the scriptures. And as I was looking at it, better this week, I saw that lady had highlighted certain scriptures and had stars put beside them. And anyway, she made that box about the word, and I want to tell you it's one of the most precious gifts I have ever received because it's from the heart. And anyway, thanks, Kathy. But why did Jesus call himself? No. Why does Jesus declare himself the Word? Well, because he is. But then also, we're going to just go over the very first scripture, John 1:1. In the beginning, I want to point out some major words. Beginning.
Yep.
That's huge. Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, his name is like, I'm Beverly A. Connor, Beverly Ann Connor. Well, why do you declare yourself Beverly Ann Connor? Because I am.
Yep.
You know, that's his name. It was the Word was his name to me, like if it's Lori or, you know, whoever, Dana. Yep. That's his name, the Word. And so I wanted to say back in the day, Moses asked God, if you do know the story about the Israelites, and, you know, 400 years in captivity, and they wanted to be set free. And so Moses is going to Pharaoh and the Israelites, and he's with God hanging out. And he said, well, who will I tell them sent me? And God answered, and he said, I am that I am. You tell them, I am sent you. So when we go on over to, that's in Exodus, and when we go on over to the book of John, I am, seven times, Jesus says. I am. Whoa, wait a minute. I am. Then we go down to Revelation. And I just want to say, the word says, let the word of God be confirmed out of two or three. The mouths of two or three. Seven? Seven times, that's pretty awesome.
Number of perfection.
I got it.
It's the number of completion and the number of perfection.
Ah, I love numbers. Yeah. Very good. And then in Revelation 1:28, he says, I am what? The Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who was, who is, and who is to come. So let's just go back. I am who? The beginning and the end. And I always say everything in between, too. But the word is the beginning and the end. And who is, who was, who is, and who is to come? Who's coming?
Jesus.
Jesus is coming back. Come, Lord Jesus, come. That's the end of Revelation. Come. So then in Revelation 21:6, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In Revelation 22:13, again, I am. And he covers it all this time. The Alpha, the Omega. If you didn't get it, he's the first and the last. Now, wait a minute. Where are we? In the beginning was the Word. And then he says, I am the beginning and the end. Did I answer that? How is he the Word?
Absolutely. Could I add something?
Sure.
The way I think of it. In the beginning, of course, and if when we look at the creation story in Genesis, just look at Genesis 1:1, we see the Spirit hover over the water. When you think of the Trinity in the three parts, God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it's hard to think of God in finite ways, you know, in human form, in human ways, the way that we do, but to the best of our ability to even put him in those terms, you could look at it this way. God thought it. The Father thought it. God, the Son, Jesus, spoke it. God said, let there be light. And then God, the Spirit hovered over the waters. It says in Genesis 1:1. So the Spirit of God is what hovered over the waters, what he thought it, Jesus spoke it, and the Spirit did it. So God thought it, Jesus, the Word, spoke it into existence, and the Spirit made it happen. And so that's the way that I look at it. So Jesus has always been the Word. He always speaks. So from the beginning, he's the living Word.
Yeah. Now, you know, for some folks that aren't churched, you know, or didn't grow up that way, well, I'll get to that. Okay, let's go on.
So what does the Word do?
Everything. Literally everything.
Such as?
I got lots of that. But I want to read this. Please, just one second. I stuck this guy in there. First of all, I want to say this. Here's what he does. I'm going to read some scripture. I just had to. Isaiah 55:11. Now I want to tell you, I don't know where all scripture is. I really don't. I'm not one of those that remember where scripture is, but I have it written on my heart. And I can tell you what it says. Then I got to look it up and tell you where it is. I'll tell you it's in the Bible. You know.
Good place to start.
And I usually know if it's Old Testament or New, you know. But I want to read from Isaiah 55. So shall my word go forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return void to me, but it shall accomplish what I set out to do. Now that's just a fact. Yeah. And anything I say to you, by the way, any scripture I'm going to read to you, I know it for a fact. It's been active in my life. So it's not something I read about or think about. I won't even talk to you much about it if I haven't experienced it. This is the truth. Joshua 1:8, God bless you. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, and don't get hung up on the law, by the way. Law isn't, because I got a whole thing on that too about law and grace. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate day and night, and I may observe, that I may observe to all that is written therein. For you shall make my way prosperous, and then I shall have good success. And I'm a King James. Actually, I'm an everything. But early on, I learned King James, and I don't know. Those words, people say because it's poetic. I don't know. But I love it all. I love it. The Lord said to me one time, I got hung up on King James, and the Lord really rebuked me. And he said, if you even get close to my word, yeah, I will reveal myself to That's you good. Because it's the condition of your heart.
That's good.
So. Yeah. Psalms 119:11 said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, it's not so important, I don't think, to know where it is or quote where it is. It's do you have it in your heart? Do you really understand what it means? And if you don't, see, it's a cool thing. Another thing I see a lot, Lord, I don't understand. Humility, I don't understand, God. Show me. Teach me, Jesus. Teach me.
That's good.
Revelation 19:13. He was clothed with a vesture or clothing, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Ugh. Gets me right here. I cry a lot. You know, I cry when I'm sad, and I cry because I'm happy. I just cry. You've exalted your word above your name. This is so important. Psalms 138:2. You and I have talked about that, I think. God exalteth his word above his name. that's how powerful the word is. I mean, the name of Jesus is powerful. But God says, I've exalted my word, which is Jesus, the living word, above his name. Just a couple others. And Jesus said in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth, again, out of the mouth of two or three. Earth will pass away, but my words never. Same thing in John 14:24. Now, did I answer that right?
Absolutely.
Now, your question is, what will the word do? 2 Corinthians 5:17 really says it all. Therefore, if anyone, that's the highlighted word here, if anyone is in Christ, that means you've asked him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, change your life, whatever wording you understand, you know, that's what he's talking about. Like that day I said, God, I don't know you. Reveal yourself to me. I don't know if you're real. He says he is a new creation. Yeah. Old things pass away. All. Little words, if and all. You got to look at those guys. They're in there, and they mean a lot. All and if. All things are made new. Now I want to tell you what. You will. You know who will notice that before you do? Your family and your friends.
Yep.
You see, when you start to change, and there has to be a change. I don't care if you were raised in church all your life. There's got to be a change. Has to be a change because he said so. Old things pass away. All things are made new. Has to be a change. And your family will recognize it. You see, because they don't want to be around you anymore. Used to be a lot of fun, Bev. Well, I thought I still was. Buddy used to say Bev used to be a party animal in the world, but now she parties for Jesus. And that's right.
Amen.
It's a different kind of party, but your family don't see it that way. And your friends don't see it that way. Yeah. You have lost your mind. Actually, they think you're possessed. And really, we are.
Yeah.
By the
kind
Spirit
of
God.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So, you know, that's what the word does. It's very simple.
So why did the word become flesh?
Well, I got it right here.
That's comforting.
I'm trying to stay on track. All right. Okay, here's what I got. I just want to say something about this song. Y'all feel the presence of the Lord this morning? Anyone here besides me? I'm telling you, I prayed for that this morning. I know you all did too, but I just wanted to let you know I did. And just the presence. And I got to share this thing. When these guys were praying with me over there, we were praying together, and I smelt. Oh, thank you, Lord. I smelled a sweet fragrance. And I said to them, now I know you think I'm crazy, but just follow. Just go with me here. I need to smell each one of you. And I did. I knew it wasn't Sean. Only because he had been sitting with me, so I knew it wasn't him. And I knew it wasn't Jamie because she had come over, so I knew it wasn't her. But these other folks I hadn't got close to. You see, because I have to have confirmation. I got to know. I got to know because I know that it's God. And so I asked them, I said, let me smell you. And I took each one of them, and I smelled them. And that smell was not there. And then I told them, the fragrance. Presence of the Lord is in this place. I just smelled him. That's Holy Ghost. Don't get frightened about the ghost thing. Holy Spirit, that's King James. Holy Spirit. King Jimmy had his own way of talking. It's good stuff. Why did the Word become flesh? Are we there yet? Mm-hmm. Okay. The Creator. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. I love the songs. I love the songs. The songs were awesome today. Every one of
they
them.
They were.
But I love that first one. Joy, joy, joy. We'll get to that. But the Creator of the universe, here's the deal, why he became flesh, the Word. And I just learned this in the last very few years. I thought I always loved. I mean, once I come to know the Lord, number one, I know I'm supposed to. And, you know, I really thought I was loving people. And then it's probably been about 5 years ago, I'm going to say. And the Lord, by the way, he draws us to pray the way he wants us to, I believe. And he said, I said, Lord, I want to love the way you do. I mean, I want to see people the way you do. I really don't want to see the outward anything. I don't care what they're doing, what they're acting like, you know, whatever. I want to see them the way you do. I want to see right into the heart that you created. What? Show me so I can love people that way. And he did. Now, certainly I haven't arrived. But my goodness, my love for people and seeing how I see people change. I mean, changed in me. To love them. Love God the way that he does. What I'm saying that for is the God of the universe. We did a play here years ago called Through Heaven's Eyes. Was anybody here for that? Lori? Wow, we need to do it again. I mean, it was a major undertaking. Ruth was here, and Jim, are they still back there? Raise your hand. I can't see you.
They're back there.
Thank you. Okay. You guys were here, and Ruth helped, and so did Jim, with the props. We had heaven built clear up as high as we could get it, literally on the platform.
I was here.
Were you here? I thought you were. Anyway, it was awesome, and it was angels. The whole thing was about angels looking down after the Word left heaven and he came to earth. And they're overwhelmed. They cannot believe that the God of the universe that created us and everything's awesome. And I don't know what, I can't even imagine what it's like in heaven, we'll say. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. That song, I love it. When we're with the Lord, I can't. I don't even try because I can't get it. But the thing is, the Creator of the universe, pure, holy, without sin, every good thing. There's no tears up there. I won't be crying good or bad. I mean, happy or sad, there aren't going to be any. It's just a different place. Left there and came down here because he loved me. And he loves you.
How will you express yourself?
Where?
In heaven.
I I'll tell you what I do now. I'm speechless, and I know you find that hard to believe.
I don't believe you.
How can you talk? How can you? You know, I've been in his presence like that. I mean, I don't think it was like that. But I've been in his presence where I can't open my mouth. Again, you know that's God. I just can't. All I can do is cry. That's what happens to me. I just cry. And cry and cry and cry. I don't know why I'm crying. I don't know why I'm not. I don't know. I freeze. I can't even do anything. So I think that's probably, but I don't know.
Except for the crying.
Except for the crying. I probably just fall on my face and I do that now. It'll be different. It'll be different.
It'll be different.
But the God of the universe, if you can get it, and I want to tell you something, that comes right here. Being alone with God. You know, there's studying the Word. But I'm telling you, folks, the only reason I know him the way I do, two things, reading the Word and getting alone with God. I'm not talking about for a minute or two. I'm talking about for hours. Rob went out in the woods here a couple weeks ago for 3-4 days alone. You see, now that's an issue because a lot of people don't like to be alone. They don't like it. They got to have somebody around them. I'm going to tell you something. The presence of God comes when you're alone. There's a song out there. What's it called, Emily? Where is she? She leave town?
Leave town.
It's one moment longer, something like that. Oh, I love that song. Love that song. If you look it up, it's called, I think, One Moment Longer. And the first part of the song is us singing to Jesus. Second part of the song is him singing to us. And he's saying, just come sit with me. You don't have to do anything. Just come and sit with me. Just come and sit with me. Whatever. That other thing will wait. Come here. That's hard to do. Because we're doers. Whether it's sleeping or working or whatever it is, we're doers. But to get alone and to just sit there with no expectation and say, God, come and sit with me. I want to know you. I just want to know you. Not what you can do for me. I want to know you. When the God of the universe came down to show us how much he loves us. That's why he came.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, hell's a real place. It really is. It's scriptural. It's real deal. The Lord made it not for us. He never had that on his mind ever. It was made for Satan and his demons. But scripture's very clear about if we don't come to know him, that's a real place for those that reject him. I know that just breaks his heart. It breaks mine. I'm broken when that people don't know him, you know? And it's not about, hey, you're going to hell. It's about, oh, this God loves you so much. That's why he came. Out of love that we can't even begin to understand, no matter how much we try. Because we're so carnal in our love. He loves us no matter what. All right, did I answer that?
Yes, you did. Very thoroughly. So 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says all scripture is God-breathed. This is the one you were talking about earlier. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So using this scripture, explain why the Word of God, the Word, is so important in the life of a believer. Skipped it.
Oh, well, I'm not.
Okay.
You can't do that to me. Can you?
Guess
not.
Do you
really want to do that? I worked hard on page number 5.
Bev, how has he demonstrated himself as the Word in your own life?
Yes, here it is. Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm going to read them off because I got a bunch. Now I won't go into all of them. I promise. Am I running
You're
out
good.
Of time?
No, go for it.
There's that clock. It's still there.
Okay. I have not looked at it once.
Oh, good boy.
I have not looked at that clock once.
I'm going to sneak in here one day and take that thing down.
Didn't look at that one once?
Good man. Good man. I could reach it hanging over that balcony. I could get that clock. Here it is. Now again, every one of these is true in my life. This isn't just rhetoric. I wouldn't put it here if I didn't know it for a fact. He's my deliverer. And I could tell everything I have on this paper. I got, you know, I got stories. And everything on here has stories behind it. My deliverer, my provider, my healer, my guide, gives me direction, wisdom, understanding. He's my comforter. When nothing else or no one works, he's the one. Joy.
Yeah.
Joy. I'm going to talk about joy. Joy comes from, I think, really a couple of things. Number one, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And those tons of scripture on joy almost rattled them all off. Another day. Trust. How do we get joy? It's trusting in the Lord. Trusting him no matter what. That's where the joy flows from. And then thankfulness. Man, you know, I'm gonna ask y'all to do something this week. And you know what? If it's all right with Pastor, did you look at the clock?
No.
Oh, you're looking at that. Okay. I saw you look up.
I'm trying to get your flame back up.
Okay. Well,
there we go.
I'm gonna ask everyone here to do something this week. Would you please sit down and take the time and make a list of what you're thankful for? I mean, don't think about the bad things. We got lots of those. And that's what always comes in front of our face, you know. But just sit down. Listen, we were talking earlier, John and what's your name? Jim. Good grief, Jim. See, I'm in your camp. Like we were talking earlier. We can't remember nothing. So anyway, is how ungrateful we are, especially in this country. We're just so spoiled. God has blessed us. You talk about, I'm telling you. And if you've not, I know some of you have, if you've not traveled to a third world country, I was picking out some specifics today, like in Haiti when I was there. These kids were thrilled to death to get a gum wrapper. Gum wasn't in it. It was gone. But the silver part of the wrapper, they didn't have anything. That was like
shiny.
Man. And they literally would fight over that piece of paper. That's a true story. Saw it with these eyes. Experienced it. But you know what? The joy in the Lord. If you're in a church service down there, you know, they got a guitar with two strings on it, electric guitar, and they're just worshiping the Lord like crazy, and joy in the house, joy in the house. You know, because they know what real joy is and isn't about stuff. We're talking about if you go to Russia and who was there? Was it John? Which one of you guys? John, you knew somebody Russian or something? Somebody here? Oh, Jim, it was you. There you are, Jim.
Bev, Jim, Bev.
Oh, I love you. He was talking, we were talking about in Russia. I'd never been there, but I've seen it on TV and whatnot. And, you know, because God is not prevalent there. The hearts, they're so cold, and it's just a different difference than in Haiti, where God has been brought, where Jesus has been brought. And Jim said he knew somebody. And anyway, just talking about how blessed we are. Look, kids, I'm telling you, we're so blessed. If you just sit down and think about the simple things, and again, I want everybody to go to a third world country, it'll change your life. If it doesn't, there's something really wrong with you, whether you know Jesus or not, because, man, we are blessed. Shoes on our feet, socks, what?
Hot water.
Just water, period. I had a stream of water like this, trying to take a shower. Now that's a hoot for me. So anyway, you know, I mean, it's just different. You know, oh my gosh, the simple things, honestly. Teeth, you know, that we got teeth in our head. We go to the dentist. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. A roof over your house. I mean, over your head, all on and on. We're not thankful. We're not a thankful people. We're not grateful. We just don't get it. And it's not our fault, really. We've been raised that way. we live in a country like that. Being thankful. Sit down, do that for me, will you? Write, make a list this week and just go through every tiny little thing that you have. Even the tiniest little thing. Not all the luxuries and whatever, but the tiniest thing that you have. Okay. Wisdom. Understanding. He's my comforter. He brings laughter. Sometimes I just laugh for no reason. And I really think I'm nuts. What are you laughing about? I don't know. Sure feels good, though. Puts a new song in my heart. Ooh. You know, I used to sing on the platform. I was one of the worshipers years ago. And without a doubt, we'd be singing a song. We'd sing over and over. And I'd come up with some new words. And the leader would say to me later, "What was that?" I said, "A new song." Just came right out of me. That's how it was. But he didn't care. It was all about worship. Sing a new song in my heart. Go around the house singing. How can you do that? Because you're grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You start thanking him, I'm telling you, you're going to get a new song. He even put a dance on these feet. I used to dance a lot. I love to dance. Now it's a little harder, but I can make a move a little bit. Even if I'm sitting in the chair. New dance. I mean it. Puts a smile on my face. He taught me how to forgive, not to hold grudges. Boy, I could hold those guys really well. And not to even be offended. What? Not to be offended?
It's hard.
It's possible.
It is possible.
Taught me how. Pretty hard to offend me. Really is. If I'm lying, you tell me, okay? To look beyond a person's carnality, but rather into their hearts. To see his creation in a new way. Somebody, was it Diane? Where are you, Diane? Was it you and I talking about creation and how the grass looked different and the trees? Was that you? Well, somebody and me were talking.
It was Jim. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. You know, after I gave my heart to the Lord, I did not realize those trees were so bright.
You talk to Jim all the time.
I do. I actually was thinking about him all week. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, everything changes in God's creation. Wow. Never saw that before. Man, that squirrel's kind of cute. But I used to drive down the road. My former pastor years ago was following me down 42 one day. He said, "You know, you do drive on the green road." I said, "Yeah, it's because I'm always staring at the fields and the trees and, you know, all of that. I'm just amazed at the colors." So creation looked different. Let's see, what else? How to love his ways and not mine. There's a tough one. To submit to authority placed over me. Faith to believe what he says. Faith, just to believe the word. In the storm, in the trials, and in the tribulation. He's allowing me to be there. Do you realize that when you're going through a tough time? God's allowing it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, don't curse him. Thank him for it. Because it's a good thing. You just can't see it right now. But you will. To know him in a deep place that I never knew him before. To mature, to strengthen me, to become more in character like him. To become stronger for what? The next battle. Guess what? There is one. You're called to be a warrior. We're warriors. We're going to battle. You need to accept that and know it. It's the truth. Things aren't always fuzzy and warm. And no, you're a warrior. Go to battle. You're going. He said in John 16:33, we would have trials and tribulations. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
Yes.
And his fellowship with me when I'm lonely. Anybody ever lonely?
Mm.
sometimes I feel lonely. Be thankful. It doesn't look like there's anything to be thankful for. And here's the other one. Always come expecting God to do something. God's always working. Always. All right. Yeah. I'm ready for six.
So the scripture I read earlier, why is that beneficial in a believer's life? For the word to be used in this way for correction and for teaching and edification.
Okay. I have that. All scripture, again, all, that little word, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. I'll say it again. Okay. Rebuking, which I'm about to do in a little bit, by the way. But I got big band-aids for you. You come along behind me and bandage people up. Right?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Boy, it got quiet in here.
They thought you were going to rebuke me.
Correcting for the servant of God to be what? What's the reason for that? Thoroughly equipped to do every good work. Thoroughly. I have that underlined. Thoroughly equipped. Be in season and out. Be ready to have a word for every man.
Yeah.
You know, when you're asked something. How do you do that? You're in the word. You've been with Jesus. Right. You know.
Yep.
Okay. It's true. It never fails. It's consistent. He has the answer to every problem. Write the word on my heart again that I might not sin against thee. Be in season and out. Sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready to give to every man an answer. Oh, I already said it. I wanted to tell you this. The Lord said to me, and I've already said it to you, but I'm going to say it again. The Lord literally said these words to me. You must know the word.
Mm-hmm.
And you must spend time alone with me. There's a balance in that. There's truth and balance. But you got to have them both. Because if you do the word only, it's going to become law and religious. Without the spirit, without the active motivation, time alone with God, it's going to be law. And you know what it's like. Maybe some of you do, maybe you don't. When the law gets laid down, if you don't do this, you're that. If you don't, okay, that's the law. Getting alone, if you get alone with God and you don't have the word or who you think is God, see, there's the key. You don't know if you're hearing the voice of God or not, because anything God gives us is going to line up with the word. And if you don't know the word, you can be listening to a different spirit moving through you. You don't realize that. You don't know it. But that's because you don't know the word. You must know the word, and you must get alone with him. And then he brings it together, brings truth and balance and life. I think of Jesus in the desert, and I use this scripture a lot. Wow, what an example. Tons of them, but this particular one, Jesus knew the word, of course, and the spirit's in him. And he gets in the desert along with the devil, and the devil starts tempting him. Now, with everything the devil said, it was true. That was scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, he put a twist on it. It was the motive behind that. And Jesus, of course, could discern it. And he came right back with the word. But see, it was the truth. It was pure motive, pure in heart. That's what I'm talking about here. If you don't have both, you can be deceived by thinking you're hearing from God. I have both.
Good.
I'm done.
Excellent.
Well, I'm not done.
Oh, okay.
I'm done with number six.
Okay. So how can we all better align ourselves with Jesus as the Word of God?
Well, Okay. Oh, it's in that box. I got this for Christmas this year. It was perfect for me. Here, you hold
it. Yep. Got it.
Manna. I love it. Can you see that? Here it is. Believe. Just believe. Believe. And you know what? It's a choice. You can't blame that on anybody else. It's a choice. To believe is a choice. You make a choice. Like that day when I got down on my knees when the Lord said, make me Lord. There's a difference there, by the way, in Savior and Lord. Make me Lord. Yeah. You will go where I tell you to go, do what I tell you to do, say what I tell you to say. You see, I had to think that over. I didn't make that a quick decision. Because I knew if I said I was going to do it, I would do it. And I did not want to break my word to God. So believe. You just make a choice. I chose. I will do this. I will believe the word of God. It's a choice. You can't sit around and just say, well, God's not doing it in me. No, you choose. I make a choice. I will believe. No matter what, I can't see it. I don't think it. You know, in the early days, I'd be seeing scripture and I'd think it contradicted itself. But I went, no, there's just something here I don't understand. Because the word of God is true. It does not contradict itself. I just don't understand. Jesus, teach me. Give me understanding. It's a choice. The second thing I have down is do what it says. Again, you have a choice. You either do it or you don't do it. There's no in between. Make the choice. God gave us freedom to choose. The third one is, I got the same thing, spend time alone with him. Get alone with God. There's many voices in the wind. Somebody is always talking to us. We want to hear one voice. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to discern, you know, who is God and who isn't. But we want to hear one voice. When he speaks, you know him. I've been in a place before where someone walked in the door. I just heard the door open, and the presence of God was so strong. I turned my head and looked, because you see, the room changed. The presence in that room changed when that person walked in the door. Recognizing, get alone with him. He shows us those and teaches that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. By the way, the kingdom is Jesus. He said to them, today the kingdom
has come upon you.
He's the kingdom. Okay? Seek him first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Luke 4:42 says, at daybreak, Jesus went out into a solitary place. Early in the morning. Some of you have been around me. I'm always saying, you gotta get up. It's hard. That flesh is hard. I know. Flesh is hard to whip into. You don't like it. Get up. I'm telling you, if you start doing it, it'll become a habit. You can't not do it because you can't wait to get alone with them. Because something is happening. All right. Number two, Matthew 14:23, Mark 6:46, Luke 6:12, Mark 1:35 all says the same thing. Jesus got alone. He got alone with the Father. He pulled away from everybody just to get alone with the Lord. Everything Jesus, the Word, did or does do has to do with love. Everything. And that's why he said, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then what? Love others as you love yourself. And we really do love ourselves. We really do. How can we love others like ourselves? Ask God. He'll show you. But those are the two greatest commandments. And now, Pastor.
You wanted to do something special to end.
I do. We're going to do something different today. And again, that was confirmed. I love the confirmation of the word. Today we're going to do something different. We're going to stand up and we're going to get in a circle in this sanctuary. And I want anybody, if there's anybody back there behind the wall, please come out. And if you're in whatever, just come out. If you can't stand, it's okay. I'm one of those folks, can't stand long. You know, sit in your chair, move the furniture around. I do it all the time. Move it around where you can get comfortable and hold on to somebody's hand, because we're going to do something different today. And I believe, again, the Lord has said that. So
let's make a giant circle.
Yeah. Can we bring that circle in? I want everybody holding on to somebody. Let's just make it smaller. Shrink in. Here, you can come up this aisle. Yeah, let's get together.
Yeah, you guys go back. You guys go back. I should have known it was Jim. Come on, Jim. You guys go back. Let's make a circle.
I don't care how you do it. Just
doesn't this look beautiful, or at least this side looks beautiful? There you go.
I love how everybody sees circles different.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta
you guys
around.
Look beautiful.
Everybody got a hold of somebody? Okay, here's what I felt like the Lord led this morning. Thank you, sweetheart. Hey, is that I want you, well, I think the Lord wants us to do this. I want you to look at the person to your right. You all know where your right is. It's the other right. Look at that person right next to you. And I want you to, well, you won't be able to do that. Yeah, you won't be able to do that. Well, you know what? Look at somebody in the eyes you're standing next to. Let's try that. But that ain't going to work. Look in somebody's eyes, standing right next to you. Do that right here, Grace. You and Barry, you guys look in each other's eyes. Hey, Logan, get in the circle. I'm sorry, that's unacceptable. Thank you. All right, look into the person's eyes that you can. Look at somebody, Logan. Look at somebody. Okay, no. All right, here's the deal. I don't want you to look at anything else but their eyes. And I want you, in your heart right now, say, God, show me that person's heart. Show me that person's heart. I don't want you to talk, Teresa. She's got Miss Sina. Look in the eyes. Just look and no talking. Ask God to show you that person's heart, the way he sees them. Just stare into their eyes. It's not a joke, folks. It's the real deal. I'll turn and look at somebody else the other way. There we go. That works. Do the same thing. Lord, show me their heart. Show me their heart. Now, I want you to look across the room and take a moment. It's going to take a moment. Start somewhere and look at each person as we go around the circle. It's going to take a few minutes. It's okay. Lord's got lots of time. Just look around the circle. In their eyes. You know, the eyes are the porthole to the soul. This is your family. This is your family. The love of God should just flow out of us into that person. No matter what they look like, no matter what they act like, no matter what they say, you know, love goes beyond all that. Sunday after Sunday, when we come together, we need to love, see somebody the way Jesus does. I'm going to use you as an example, Kathy. She's late every morning.
Praise the Lord that I'm here.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And Dana's her sidekick, so he's late too. But I want to tell you what, they show up. They show up, and I love them, and she will tell you I'm normally not a late person, but I love them. I'm so glad they're here.
So in that could have been a stronghold that could have stopped the relationship being formed if we had fallen to the flesh. If Bev had been like, I'm just not going to spend time with Kathy because she's always late to everything. And if I was like, I'm never doing anything with Bev because she always expects me to be there on time. So, but seriously, that's caused issues in the past with people with us. And it's caused division where it shouldn't be. And thank God that we respect one another and try our best to be gracious with one another.
Praise the Lord. All right. Y'all got it? Now I want you to say to somebody next year, I love you.
I love you. I do. I say good things.
All right, hold it. It ain't over. Here's the rebuke. Sunday after Sunday, I come and I look around this congregation, and the one that the Sunday it got me was actually, I got to say, Christmas, when was that? Last week? And I looked around the congregation. Look, the creator of the universe has just come to earth. That's what we're celebrating. To be with us. Talk about joy. We should have been overflowing. But it wasn't that way. There's joy missing in our lives. There's joy missing in our lives. When we come together, which should be that way even when we're alone, when we come together, man, I'm telling you, this should be a Pentecostal place. Now, just overflowing with what? Not because we're acting out or, you know, I got to do that. Because there's so much gratefulness in our hearts. Man, we can't help but rejoice and thank the God of the universe that he loves us. Wow, that's the rebuke. Joy. And I think it comes from, number one, not being thankful. Just not being thankful. So I have asked, where is she? Where's my girl? Jamie. this girl I've known a long time. She got a lot of joy. She goes through hard stuff like everybody else. She has. But you know what? She knows the word. She says it. She believes it. And she's got joy in her heart. So I've asked her, and Cameo's going to help her. Emily, no offense, are you here?
Okay.
I'm giving her a break this morning. She's going to lead us in joy to the world, and we're going to sing it like we mean it. Amen, Pastor. Is that good? Like we mean it. Woo!
Here you go. I got something first. No, well, I'm not going to sing this one, but this is a song that I sent to Kevin the other day because I just have a list of worship songs that when I get alone with God, I tend to read the word and then I start singing it because there's tons of songs out there about the word. Anyway, who knows He Touched Me, that song He Touched Me, okay? And I'm not going to sing it because I wasn't really prepared except for right now. So it says, shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. So anyway, since we're talking about joy, I want you to know you need the touch of the Lord to feel that joy. And I've kind of been singing that all week, but anyway. All right. Everyone ready? All right. Kathy?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
All right, that's very traditional. We're going to try that again, but we're going to do a little bit more joy, okay? It was very good.